A Shishkin Productions podcast.
Sometimes that's the biggest obstacle for me, like starting an edit, is I know that it's a lot of work. Like I know the first few steps are, they just suck. Like,
first cut is the deepest, dude. Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome back. We are in November.
It is November.
And November is happening.
You know,
did we already have an episode in November?
We've already had an episode in November.
You know, it's been so long since we recorded that I have forgotten completely.
It's actually only been about a week since we recorded, but it feels like longer because we've been doing things in chunks. And
it's been a long week.
Piecing it together.
It's like
it
that song been. From that musical, How to Succeed in Business, Not Really Trying.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a long week. Except they say it's been a long day. Look, if it doesn't hit, it doesn't hit. I can't control it.
I didn't remember the lyrics. It's been 20 years.
Look, Amy is out. Amy has been gone.
Yeah, Amy's been out for like 10 days or so. Well, she left for a vacation like 2 weeks ago.
The calendar in the office still says October. Because yeah. Amy maintains the calendar. We're living in... are in shambles over here.
Dude, it was crazy. At the beginning of the week, I got in. I was all alone on Monday. It was very sad for a little bit because you were gone and Amy was gone. And
it's
probably
pretty nice though.
I was looking at this calendar and I was like, I should just erase this and start anew. And I was like, I have bad handwriting and
I don't know.
This isn't for me.
Don't treat yourself that
but
that
I
your handwriting's pretty good.
Thank you. I looked at the calendar and I was like, I don't know if like who's coming in today. I was like, do we have the intern in today?
It's a good point. Like,
all of a sudden Vince shows up out of nowhere just to hang out.
Yeah, Vince pops in. Vince pops in every so often.
And then I think maybe Will came through. I'm not sure. Someone came through and then all of
Will
a sudden
must have been here.
Then all of a sudden it felt like a party.
Yeah, I mean, well, people coming, people go, you know. That's how it goes. As Dan Behar once said.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah, we're back on track. Where can people find us just real quick before we get going?
We're Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We have a Patreon, Shishkin Productions.
I was thinking about shuttering soon. I was like, I don't want to maintain this thing.
Yeah, we're not really getting a lot of buy-in.
I'm spending more money fucking maintaining it than I am getting out of it.
Look, hashtag save the crew. Save the Patreon.
save the Patreonies.
Yeah.
The number.
The number?
Yeah.
Oh, God, the number. It's been so long, I've forgotten it.
It's only been a week.
I've forgotten the jingle.
332.
333-4361. That's a Sizzle Reel cold line. You can call and leave us a message. You can only leave us a message. We will not pick up. It is a cold line.
It is cold. It's going to go straight to voicemail. And then everything else, just Google the Sizzle Reel podcast. It's all going to come up. You'll find whatever the fuck you need to find.
I mean, honestly, if you're here, then like
your family.
You're already here.
If you're here, your family.
All right.
We're the Applebee's of shows. all right, Chris. We have a very special guest. He is sitting here just completely enthralled. And we're not going to bring him
See,
just
he's,
yet.
He's moving the mic towards his microphone. Thinks, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. He thinks he's going to get to talk, but not until we introduce him. And we're not going to introduce him for another couple minutes here.
We like to keep our guests hostage.
Yeah. Chris, you were doing a bunch of gambling stuff today. You were learning a bunch of gambling terms. We were tasked with trying to come up with some concepts for a sports betting entertainment company. And you were like, hey... I'm going to research some stuff. What'd you learn?
I honestly didn't learn anything. I learned about the talent that they work with and, you know, like the, you know, they have a network of people that they're trying to get to work together. And we're kind of coming up with some concepts that will mesh with those personalities.
It's hard to make them sometimes. Though.
It is. I mean, it's gambling. Like ultimately it either you win or you don't. And there are other angles, but they're difficult to find. And I was kind of racking my brain today trying to put some together.
Yeah, I'm not the idea that I came up with randomly that I'm gonna pitch to them. I think is like a Billy on the Street type thing, but for gambling. So you have to have like a man on the street with like, you know, stick mic, whatever, at different sporting events, trying to just like kind of get a finger on the pulse.
Okay,
on what the people think about that particular event and how it's going to play out in gambling terms.
Okay, so you kind of want to get the crowd to bet to to set the line.
Set the line. Crowd sets the line. Something like that, right? And then this is some writer's room shit. And also, you know, bet on other like funny things. Like, you know, what do you think the like over under that the person who's next in line at this hot dog cart is going to get mustard on their hot dog?
Oh, okay.
Like
I kind of
like
with
funny,
that.
Funny little things like
okay.
that. Okay. So we'll gamify yeah. all of those little moments.
I just wanted to turn everything into a game show. That's all I wanted to do.
Honestly, I think that if we were to pitch a bunch of game show ideas, they would probably roll with a few. Because,
I mean,
like, that's what gambling is.
Exactly.
Right? It's a game.
Exactly.
Game within a game.
Game within
what
a game.
What if we pitched an improv concept? Improv scenes have games. Just saying.
How do you pitch improv, though?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yes, and.
Yes,
wait,
and.
Just do it. I don't know.
Wait. You had your first foray into legal sports gambling recently.
I did. I was in Florida. I got to gamble. I was there for I was there for 4 days. I limited myself to $250. I did 5 separate bets of $50 a piece. I lost every single one.
That's
sad. Every single one. But if they would have hit, if they all would have hit, I would have made like probably fucking, I don't know, like $6,500, something like that. That's probably why I lost.
Yeah.
It's because if I was betting, betting some crazy shit.
That's a big if.
But I don't even know.
You were betting on Major League Soccer?
I was betting a little bit. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah, I was betting a little bit on Major League Soccer. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say that. I was also betting on basketball.
Oh, that's more important.
Yeah, basketball. MLS, you cannot bet on. It is such a crazy league with so many ups and downs. There's no way you can predict it. It's totally unpredictable. That's why I love it. Before we bring our guest in, MLS is over. The season is over. The playoffs have started. So that means a couple of our contracts are up. So now it's a weird feeling. We got to like go find more work now. Like we really have to go find more work now.
Yeah, we delivered one of our last MLS projects today, and the other one was on Monday was the delivery. And it's just like, I'm kind of melancholy now. Like what do I do? You know, because we've been so wrapped up in the season. It's like a 35-week season plus a couple breaks here and there. So like it's most of the year and it's a lot of our work. We're in it all the time.
Yeah.
And then it leaves for 2 or 3 months. And
yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll get some playoff stuff. Hopefully we'll get some year end stuff, just enough to get us through the new year. And the season kicks off again in February. Maybe we can lock down a retainer situation for next year. I don't know. I'm just kind of making this up as I go.
Kind of spitballing.
But I do wish that we could get a retainer going with them. That should be lit. We finished the World Cup qualifiers project, as you said.
Sure. Call it the Octagon.
The Octagon. And we actually had our guest watch a little snippet of one so he could kind of see. That's the closest thing we've done to a documentary. And
yeah,
our guest today is a seasoned documentary editor, seasoned with lemon pepper, seasoned with cinnamon and cloves, seasoned with salt, pepper, normal pepper and lemon pepper. He's seasoned. It's Ian Dwy. Ian, welcome to the podcast. You made it.
You finally
made it. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You're on the pod.
I am. I finally made it.
Does it feel good to be in the room? You know, you've been in this room before. You just never talked into the mic.
Once before, yeah.
Yeah.
I usually do all my vocal stylings off mic anyway, so.
Yeah. He's more of like the strong silent type,
mm-hmm.
you know. Ian is usually working on longer form material, which is pretty interesting, and it's going to be a nice juxtaposition because we're in the short form ephemeral content game.
You're in the fast lane.
We're in the fast lane.
Yeah. Which terrifies me.
It's really going to make you lose your mind.
Yeah.
It's like the Eagles said that, right? Have you ever heard of my concept? It's called the Beagles.
No, but
Don.
It sounds like one of your concepts.
Yeah, Don Lennon. It's like Don Henley meets John Lennon.
Okay.
His band's called the Beagles.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's got stuff like Yesterday, I was living life in the fast lane. No. Doesn't hit for you. It's okay. It's not for everyone.
It's pretty good. I was just thinking about how Don Henley's a piece of shit.
I don't even know anything about him.
I had no idea.
I'm sure John Lennon's a piece of shit too, right?
I mean, well, yeah, he's
got killed. That's why he...
Don Henley in particular is a piece of shit.
You either live long enough to see a villain or you live long enough to...
That's not right.
Whatever.
I wanted to point out also in the first segment, you said we're the Applebee's.
This is the first podcast segment.
Yeah, was it?
Well, I don't know. When I wasn't here, when I was here but not here, you said we're the Applebee's of podcasts, and you said when you're here, your family. That's fucking Olive Garden, dude.
Yeah, I was gonna say something, and I was like, is that Applebee's? Because I think that's feeling good in the neighborhood.
Well, that was bugging me until you good in the neighborhood, but yeah, okay. Me.
It's actually even more. It's more relevant. We are kind of the Olive Garden of podcasts.
Yeah, unlimited breadsticks,
dude. We got unlimited Michelob Ultras today. Courtesy of Vincenzo.
The lobe is hitting it.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Man. It's 3%. Let's go. It's that Mormon approved shit. Sorry, Ian, you do long form shit and you saw a little bit of that thing we did. And I was telling you, that's the most long form that we've gotten. Mm-hmm. And it's
seven minutes was the longest one.
The longest one was 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all paced so fast. They're just music in them all the time. What kind of stuff are you working on? And what is like your general turnaround time on these things? Because for us, we did, what was it, 5 episodes in like 6 weeks, and we were like, God, we're on this forever.
Yeah, no, that's pretty quick.
It's insanity.
I mean, like, I don't know, it depends on the project. It's usually like a year to over a year that I'm on a project.
Wow, I can't even imagine committing that kind of time to something.
Yeah, and I mean, like, sometimes it falls apart, or like I end up finding a different gig and just like leaving, or yeah, you know, circumstantially, but usually it's like a year. And then even like, that's just the edit. It's like they were working on it for months before I even get there. So it's like usually like a 2-year process to get through these things.
That is just mind blowing because like I said, if I come in and look at the same thing for like 2 weeks, I'm like, okay.
It is draining for sure. And like a lot of the stuff that I work on, I mean, like most documentaries are just like tragic content anyway, so like living with that shit for like 2 years straight, it's not like it breaks you, you just get so desensitized to shit.
What do you mean tragic content?
You know, I mean, like, I've worked on war documentaries and you know just the, I mean, most documentaries are just about like general suffering anyway, if they're worth watching. No one wants to watch a happy documentary.
That's kind of the story of humanity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Suffering.
Damn, dude. I'm out here with a couple negative Nancys. I like watching positive documentaries.
Suffering isn't negative.
It's true. It's just a state of being, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow. What a
We're
Buddhist.
Getting Buddhist.
I was going to say, it's very Buddhist of you, man. Would you, you're the kind of person who, if you find a bug in your house, you'd put it outside?
Yes, I am, actually.
Man, you're wildin'.
No, what? You're a swamp bug, bro.
I'm a swamp bug.
Except for cockroaches.
I live in a swamp, not a house bug.
All right.
I murder cockroaches.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to.
That's the only. That's the only one.
So what are some of like the things that you've found to be maybe beneficial to working on such long stuff, you know? Because we can all think of how annoying it would be to work on the same thing for a year, but I guess it's maybe consistency or perhaps like stability. Is that's probably a plus. Like we can't even fathom what's coming up in the next few weeks. Legit.
I guess the benefits of it is like definitely job security. You know, you got a job for the next year and a half. And I don't know. There definitely are times where I like get totally disillusioned by the project that I'm working on just by virtue of being on it forever and like just get bored or like, you know, not want to work on it anymore. But I mean, there's something to be said about just like sticking with something for a really long time and like learning how to be creative for that long on the same subject.
I feel like I would not even be able to like watch it down again.
No, I can't watch anything that I work on.
I just feel like, I mean, at a certain point, I've just with the short form that we do, I watch something so many times that by like version 8 or 9, I'm not even seeing the video for what it is anymore. Right. I'm seeing it for
you,
like
tunnel vision.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're just watching it at 2x. That's literally what I do.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, you know, pressing the down arrow to get to the next frame to just like check to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I'm not even really like watching it as a whole. I'm just like looking for mistakes before I'm sending it off, or I'm just, I'm at that point, I'm usually disillusioned with it because it's gone through so many revisions and I'm like, I don't even care about this video anymore.
Yeah.
And that's on like a 2-week job, let alone a year and a half.
Right. No, the amount of times I've been tasked to watch something down before it's sent out and I just never look at it for a second. I just hit play and listen to it and like look at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it looks great.
What's the longest thing you've worked on, Chris?
Oh, man. Well, we did that Desus and Marrow panel last year, and that was a 45-minute panel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for
I didn't realize that thing was 45 minutes.
For Complex Land,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
And that one was actually it was kind of a heavy lift. It's obviously not a documentary. It's just like a six camera.
45 minutes of anything, though, is a fucking lift. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It was, and we got like real granular with all the cuts and like putting stuff in and taking it out and then putting it back in and just trying to create moments. And like that was basically like four straight 12-hour days. And then the last two or three days of it were a little bit more chill. But yeah, that drained me, and I have not gone longer than like 7 minutes since.
That is crazy to me, because I pretty sure I was in the office for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Just like on the other side of the room. And if you asked me before you said that, how long was that Desus and Marrow panel? I would have been like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I don't know. But I wasn't in the edit, so I don't.
It went from like 45 to, we took out a whole section, so it was down to 22, and then we put it back in. And that was different because we had a producer in, watching the edit and making decisions. So it kind of went a little bit more quickly. That's one of the few times where I'm glad there was a producer there, because I would hate to go through like 11 revisions of that and just getting back notes on a 45-minute thing. Oh, and we did do that, the 20-minute cooking show earlier this year. And that, I mean, we...
That one was a fucking pain in the ass.
Why? Because
they kept wanting... They didn't... It's the stupid shit. There were so many things, but... Well, one of them, they deleted a whole fucking card of footage. That was a big thing. But... So we had to cut around that. But then another... And I'm not talking just like random B-roll. It was like one of the angles got deleted. So like we had to do a bunch of punch-ins, and they like did some fake pickups that we had to like place back in somehow. Yeah. But it's like a show where the guy's talking to camera, so your pickups don't match because he's not talking. So you have to like, all of them are just close-ups of him doing stuff with his hands.
Right.
It was a mess.
Just for an idea, one of the versions, this was like version 4 or 5. So it had kind of, it was fleshed out at this point. We got back 54 notes. It's crazy too, because most of them were music notes, so they were very frustrating because we just couldn't decide on music. Basically,
I feel like there was a I think you're selling it short. I think it was like version 5 or 6 that we got back like 80 something notes.
It was a lot.
It was insane,
it was
always like change the music, change the song. This song doesn't fit. Change the song, and you know we're trying to keep it upbeat because it's 20 minutes, so we're doing like that network trick of like. Change songs every 30 seconds, you know, 30 seconds to 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a 20 minute piece. It's got like 40 songs.
Right.
And then they're like, literally they're like, change every song. And we're like, fuck. Okay. So we change it.
Work,
and then like next time they're like, we got to change this. None of these songs fit again. It's like, dude, then you've picked the fucking songs.
Yeah. Did
like,
we ended up
making them pick the songs.
I mean, most notes are as vague as that.
Yeah. And
I don't like this, but I have no suggestion
on what else to put in.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you just have to fucking guess.
And the whole thing was just a mess too, because it was one of those like pilot things where they lure you in with the promise of like a longer deal. And then at the end they go, yeah, like you guys were just too expensive. And you're like, man, we made the format of the show up and made the style up. And then
that one in particular was insulting because they didn't even tell us that they were taking away. We found out because we were sharing the same frame account, and I was putting in, you know, version whatever, and I noticed, oh, they had already started on episode 3. Well, that's weird because we don't have that footage.
I thought we were doing episode 3.
They chose a different company as they were working with you?
Not only that, it's like someone who we know. Like,
yeah, editing. He doesn't even work with them anymore, I don't think. I think he just did that one episode, and it was probably the same idea.
Yeah.
He was probably too expensive for them as well.
Exactly.
And he was just like, whatever, dude.
It's always a friend that fucks you over.
Nah, he's a nice guy. I don't think he knew. He's gonna come on the pod. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty crazy. He actually is working on, I think he's working on a union job right now, or something that was like on the verge of flipping and becoming union.
Oh, so he might not be working.
Yeah, he was saying if there's a strike, he's like, I'll come down, I'll get on the pod.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Well, I mean, the closest I've gotten to like your style of work of the quicker stuff was the company I started at. End of last year had a project for Quibi, and it was like 10 minute episodes,
RIP
maybe
Quibi.
Less. Yeah. And it was funny, 'cause like, I don't know. We got right to the end of it end of like finishing every episode, and that's when like the Quibi news broke, and
Ooh.
It was like on Twitter too. It wasn't even like we were informed.
Wait, so is the
by
stuff
Quibi.
Just sitting in a Quib in the Quibi graveyard?
Like, yeah, I guess they were like going to try to shop it around elsewhere, but like, yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't even that engaging of a show anyway, because
right,
I don't know. You have to be so like vanilla and easy to digest for Quibi. But that was a fucking nightmare to figure out, like, you know, the two versions of aspect ratios, especially in Avid, which like does not like that shit at all if you try to like trick it. But
why is it so difficult in Avid?
I don't know. It's just like you can't just like tell Avid like this. I want it to be, you know, I want my footage that was shot, you know, 16:9 to just be now 9:16 and just crop it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just starts stretching and freaking out and, you know, crashing.
Wow, really?
Avid's a cruel mistress.
Is it is less stable than Premiere?
I think it just has its quirks. You know,
I've literally never set foot in Avid land.
Yeah.
For audio,
Avid's like a cougar. It needs like a lot of foreplay, you know? A lot of heavy petting. And but once you get it there, it's like it's a good program.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I know about
Is that one time we had the NHL thing go through us? Did that go to?
It was MLS.
Well, it was MLS.
Yeah,
it was David Beckham.
David Beckham
did
doc.
Did that go to you?
You did the last
I worked
part
on that
of
for like a couple days, or
I mean, that's
maybe just
that's
like
all we
hours.
Had to really. That's all we had to do for it.
Yeah.
Okay. But so I was just like, well, we don't do Avid, but we got someone who does. I was gonna say, who is the company that makes Avid? Is Avid just the company? It's the same people.
I mean,
it's the same people who make Pro Tools. Will, what are they called?
Avid.
It's just called Avid.
It's Avid. I think it's called Media Composer.
The thing with I remember I was fucking with Pro Tools on this machine, and I tried to call about a Pro Tools support thing because I just couldn't figure it out for the life of me. We tried everything, and then I finally was like, I'm just gonna call support. You have to you have to have a certain level of membership in order to have phone support, or you can purchase it as a one-time thing.
Yeah.
It costs $80 to call in to get fucking phone support. I was like, you joking me?
Yeah.
And I ended up figuring it out. The problem with it was like a Mac permissions problem. So we literally on this machine in here have a profile that is the main profile, and then one profile just called Pro Tools, where Pro Tools only works in that profile. So
right.
Well, Adobe support is just you post on a forum and wait 8 years, and then someone will say, please send a ticket to Adobe.
It's true.
And then nothing changes for.
Yeah. Or like, and everyone will upvote it and be like, yeah, we'd love this feature. And they're like, yeah, submit a feature request. Like, hopefully we can get it to you. And it's like,
now, it's better just to go on YouTube and have some breathy nerd explain it to you in 45 minutes.
Yeah, I always have to just like scrub right through. I'm just I'd rather read like what I need to do than like look at a fucking video.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I get confused and the only solution is a video, I'm like, bro.
I watch videos all day. I don't want to watch
a
video.
The last thing I want to do. Also,
it's
just quicker.
I'm a child. I can't read.
You'd really prefer to see.
I go on YouTube for all my tutorials.
Yeah, but that's tutorials. I'm talking about like a quick little thing that you need to solve something. No. Like, what if it's just
I
like
just don't
in the,
solve it if I
what
have
if it's
to
like in the OS?
It.
Wow. Damn, Rich the Kid would not be a fan of yours.
No.
Because Rich the Kid says, read about it.
Read about it.
Mm-hmm. Read about it. What else we're gonna talk about?
Well, I'm curious, why do you stay with the long form documentary stuff? Why do you not gravitate towards any of the ephemeral stuff that we do?
Yeah, it's fun.
I think it's really just circumstantial. I don't think I have a real preference for it. I mean, like, I love documentaries. I love watching documentaries, and long form is like, it's like my favorite viewing. But it was just like, when I got my first internship, it was at a documentary company. So it's just like, I kind of ended up just getting pigeonholed into a corner of, you know, that category. But, you know.
But if the ephemeral stuff came at you, you would give it a shot?
Sure. Yeah.
Do you know
a little scary to me, though, just the quick turnaround time.
I mean, the quick turnaround time is probably the most stressful part of it. Maybe it's like, but it's also kind of the part that makes us like gives us an advantage over other companies. Because, I mean, I guess we're pretty good at editing and doing all that shit.
Yeah,
but we do it so quick. I think that's what makes it really...
Right.
Like, we just got a project in from... It was like a sizzle reel for this tech company. And they had sent it out to a different agency. And, like, I guess the other agency took all the time and all the budget mostly at it. And they fucked it up completely. Like, the thing looked absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one point where... Like, I had no idea who was editing this. There was one point where, like, there was a lower third just in the middle of the screen. Nice. And there was not a person at all on screen and no talking. And it was literally, it came on screen for 1 second and then, like, cut off.
It's artistic and, license.
Yeah. Yeah. Very artistic. Mm-hmm. Very, like...
avant-garde.
Avant-garde, mm-hmm. modernist shit. It could have been in MoMA, honestly. It really was that wild.
Yeah, just playing on a projector on a wall in four dimensions.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Immersive stuff. Yeah. VR.
Yeah.
VR. So you're like in the lower third. You're like, the fuck? So we got that and we had to turn it around, like redo the whole thing from scratch in one day. And like, we did it, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, engineer Will's heading out. See you later.
Later, Will. Will.
Good luck. He's got a hot date.
Hot date.
Hot
date. Can't be late.
But yeah, I mean,
fucking asshole.
Got him. He's back. The sizzle, right? So we only got,
we were given one day,
maybe day and a half,
yeah,
to fix it. And
it was literally an entire re-edit,
right?
As well.
And it sucks because, like, it's cool because we showed our worth and we did it. And, like, I guess all we can do is hope that, like, now they go to us instead of going to them first.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of a problem, too, because if you show your worth like that right away, then maybe they come to expect
too
that.
Expecting.
You got to go, no.
Yeah.
That's not the expectation. We did it like that because we wanted you
to like us.
To like us.
Respect us. Yeah. And come back. Give us more money.
Yeah. It gets a little bit squirrely, though.
Yeah.
What's up, Engineer Will? He's back.
He's back for his jewel.
What
he's
happened?
Back for his jewel. I knew it. His jewel.
He forgot his jewel. That's classic. So what we're going to do is, in the next segment, we're going to do a little thing called Crashing the Boards, where we're going to go on the message boards, pick a couple things. We're going to talk about them. Before we get to that, Chris, any last questions for Ian?
I want to, do you have like a favorite documentary that you've worked on that you can shout out?
Oh, that I've worked on? Well, my favorite documentary that I haven't worked on is American Movie. I don't know if you've guys seen that.
Mm-mm.
Check it out. What it's hilarious. It's beautiful. It's about filmmaking in general. And it's from the perspective of, you know, this like white trash metalhead out in the middle of nowhere. It's very good. What favorite thing that I've worked on? I guess most recently there was a 3-part documentary series that came out on HBO. I think like a month ago, and it's called Nuclear Family, and it's about a lesbian couple in the 70s, 80s, I think, and they were trying to have a child, so they were looking for donors, and back then it was like obviously like super taboo to be gay and frowned upon, blah blah blah, so it was like very underground culture that they were in, so they found a gay male friend of theirs to be their donor. And they had two children, one from two different donors. And they decided to like keep the donors in their child's lives just so, you know, inevitably the question would arise as the kids get older, like, well, who's my father, you know? So they kept them around as just like family friends. And it ends up leading to the donor sort of like recanting and suing them for custody of the child because he wanted to be the father.
Wow.
That's the basic premise of the thing. Again, tragedy.
Yeah.
How long did you spend doing that?
I honestly did not work on that very long. So lately I've just been like at this company helping out on a ton of projects where need be, as the main project that I'm on is down right now. So I worked on that for a little while. So... It was probably like a couple months I was working on that, but yeah, that was great. You guys should check that out.
Yeah, go check it out.
And it's the film is made by the child that was being fought over.
Oh wow,
so that's a really cool twist.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like her interviewing her moms and all the people involved and from her perspective, you know.
That's also going to get you some really good stuff in those interviews because they're going to be very
a lot more
like,
comfortable.
Natural,
and,
comfortable, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nuclear Family on HBO. Mm-hmm. Go check that
check
out.
Check it out.
All right. Well, then let's take a quick little break, right? And
yeah.
And we'll come back and we'll crash the motherfucking boards.
Crash these boards.
Look, we've been doing the show for a while, and Wandering Barman.
Wandering Barman?
They are one of our premier sponsors.
They're a sponsor?
Yeah, they're the best. They make the most delicious cocktails and the pre-made.
Wait, pre-made cocktails? I can just drink it? I don't have to make a cocktail?
That's right, but it gets even better. They just opened their cocktail brasserie here in Brooklyn.
That sounds fancy.
It's pretty fancy, but it's also mad affordable. Their happy hour from 5 to 7, $5 cocktails. So if you want an old-fashioned, guess how much it is?
$5?
If you want a margarita, guess how much it is?
$5.
And if you want a Diet Pepsi...
I don't think they have those.
They don't have those, unfortunately. Oh. But you should check out Wandering Barman's Cocktail Brasserie at 315 Meserole Street in Brooklyn. Go for happy hour, 5 to 7. They're open every day.
Wandering Barman, woo! Welcome back, Sizzlers. We are here to crash some boards. Exactly.
That's a crashing noise.
Crashing noises. Alexi, you said you wanted to go first.
I want to go first.
Damn,
I want to go
got
first.
A juicy topic.
I got a good one because it's got like in the comments, people were going ham. It created like a bunch of dichotomy, so to speak.
Okay.
It was very split. You know,
controversial. I mean?
It was a controversial hot topic.
Wow.
It literally hot topic. It was wearing black t-shirts with white. Like funny phrases.
Yeah. Yeah. A chain wallet.
Had
and
a
some
chain
studs.
Wallet.
Ren and Stimpy armband.
One of those like glowing electric balls that when you touch it, your hair stands up.
Oh, yeah. The Edison or what are they called?
Yeah,
who cares?
Van Zant bulbs or something.
It's more Spencer's.
Like that. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah. They're like the same. Spencer's.
checking right. Your ass, dude.
Dude, I'm getting fucking roasted.
Fucking fact checking you.
No, I've been to Hot Topic. What?
I was full on a Hot Topic kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that like that was your?
It was sad.
I mean, I think everyone was kind of right.
I mean, I had like, I at least had kid. That phase for a little bit.
Yeah. Full on skull T-shirt with the you know the black
Punisher
blazer.
Skull?
Yeah.
Oh man,
did you have a truck?
Not
with truck
Punisher.
Nuts?
It was Zero.
Oh okay.
Oh Zero
lit. Skateboards.
Yeah.
And Eric. Then I took the fake. Spray hair dye and like did my hair black.
Okay,
wow.
The spray,
the, like
okay.
Tie that's
I was
like
more
loosely.
Of a manic panic guy. Done. Oh, you were full on.
I was full on piece of shit for sure.
No, that's cool.
No, that's pretty dope.
MCR,
though.
Really into MCR.
What's MCR?
That's not okay.
My Chemical Romance.
Oh,
I'm not okay.
That's no. Not okay.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Anyway, sorry.
I was into Sugar Cult. I like Sugar Cult. I like The Used a lot.
Sugar
the Used
Cult.
Were like
wasn't
my
Sugar
band.
Cult a Christian band?
I don't think so.
I think Sugar Cult was a Christian band.
I do not think
that
Sugar
would be
Cult
wild if they are.
Maybe no. Not. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I was really into the POD was a Christian band.
I'm getting Sugar Cult and POD mixed up.
I was in The Used. That was my band.
Yeah, I was into
Burt McCracken.
Sure.
Burt McCracken.
Yeah.
Cracking these boards.
White boy.
Oh shit.
Childhood.
Yeah, let's crack these boards. D's nuts. All right.
We're really getting off the rails. We've been
shout out.
So bad the last few weeks.
Ah, whatever. It's just for us. All right. So this one was posted by a throwaway because they say it's for obvious reasons. It's titled Client/Employer Wants to Watch the Editing Process.
Oh, I saw this.
This one is great. All right. So they say the client/employer, technically a contract, is not happy that it takes about 16 hours to edit 18 minutes of video. So to put that into perspective, 2 workdays to edit 18 minutes, an 18 minute video. Mm-hmm. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
They want to watch me stream the entire process over Discord. I don't really feel like giving away all my tricks. That can make me easier to replace, nor am I really comfortable being on mic that long, and the whole context and tone of the request makes me feel weird. Am I the asshole here? Is it normal for someone to want to watch the process to make improvements, quote unquote? They know editing somewhat, but nowhere near as much on the topic as me, so I guess it's possible they could give me a suggestion, but mostly I feel like this is going to slow me down. So I personally I would be like, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I'm on this guy's side.
Yeah.
Through and through.
The fact that they should not be sitting in and watching this, right?
Yeah.
Well, and especially like in this context, they would literally be, he would be streaming because it's remote. He would be streaming his desktop while they like watch him work. And then he would have to be on mic, like explaining what he's doing. So it's not even like they're in the office and like helping with the edit. They're, it sounds like they're strictly like trying to see what his workflow is to see if he's like slacking off. Like it sounds like they've already lost faith in his process. And the other red flag to me is that he describes it as 16 hours instead of 2 days. So I'm wondering if he's just getting paid hourly.
Yeah.
And like it just, there are legitimate reasons to have someone in on the edit, but this particular circumstance,
it doesn't sound like your normal in on the edit thing. It sounds like someone being a complete asshole and taking liberties with their authority.
There were people in the comments who were being such bootlickers, and they were just like,
really?
Well, they pay for you, so technically you're at their whim and you do whatever they say. And it was like, dude, no. Like, no. It's like this is different. This is like, this person is like concerned that it's taking so long to edit this, and it's like, dude, then go somewhere else.
Yeah,
like go somewhere else. Like if you don't like the speed, then you can go fuck yourself. Like go take it to another editor and see if they can do it faster, but don't sit here and try to tell me what to do it faster. Like that just doesn't make any sense, you know what I mean? Especially trying to look at what they're doing the entire time. Someone was like, well, if you're gonna do this, like just only stream your program monitor, do not stream like your timeline and shit, because they don't need to be looking at all that. Like they just need to see the program. And that's true. When you have a client come in to sit with you, that's fine. That happens.
Yeah.
But they just sit and look at the program monitor. They have their own monitor. They're not like sitting over your shoulder watching you cut, you know? It's craziness. But yeah, what got me was that there was a ton of people in the comments who were like, yeah, that is that's cool, like you should do it, that's fine, this is their request. And that I was just like, come on, man.
It was all that guy
that one guy doing a bunch of fake accounts.
It's made of
it is crazy because there's 150 comments on this, and typically like these posts get maybe 15 to 20, something like that. People are heated. It also 18 minute video in 2 days?
No, that's like really insane.
Yeah. I mean, if it's an 18 minute video, how much source material does he have to go through? Because that's the other thing. It's like, that's a lot to go through.
It's true. And there are a lot of facts that are not in this, right?
That's true.
So like if it was, say it was a two camera setup and it was like an interview between two people, and literally all you had to do was cut from one angle to the other, like three cam setup, one angle to the other to the wide, and it was you weren't cutting for content, you were just cutting angles, and it was a straight up 18 minute conversation.
No B-roll, no.
Then
no
I would graphics. Be like, why is it taking 16 hours? If like if that's all it was. But you gotta think, when it's a 20 minute piece like that, just to QC it is gonna take 20 fucking minutes.
Right.
So like if you're gonna export it, QC it and send it out, that takes an hour.
Right. Just like right there.
Yeah. It's fucking wild. Someone was like, I don't get why people are saying this is unusual. Like, I can't stand having a producer or director behind me all day. You know, it slows me down. But all that said, you know, I've sat in with producers all the time. They feel it's necessary, but he's like, I don't know why they do it, but it's extremely common. It's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's common, but like, I actually have had so many moments where someone was sitting in with me and they like want a scene edited and they're like, I just want to watch, you know, and the amount of times they just like jump in over my shoulder and grab the keyboard and like, no, this over here. And I just have to sit back and watch them fuck up my timeline.
Wow. Really?
I'm totally on this guy's side.
You've had people do that?
Yeah.
Every time I was always, when I would go into work at other company, I went in to work at Complex quite a bit where I had a suite where I would work there. Whenever I was working on shows there, I was very much like the most hardline of all the editors there who would not let people in my suite. I was like, no, it's not ready for you to watch yet. It's like, you know, if you are, you're not going to like go to watch a chef make a fucking cake and then like start eating the batter. Like the batter's not there for you to eat.
You're not going to tell a painter that he's doing this stroke wrong and that you want this stroke a little bit over to the right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, there is a time when like, then there was a time and place when I'd be like, okay, cool. It's ready for you to watch. Let's sit and we can do a productive like session. But if you want to come in from the fucking beginning, I don't need you there because right. It's fine if you just want to sit there and be on your phone. I don't give a fuck. Because a lot of times I would let people come in if they were like, I just don't want to be sitting in the office right now. I want to escape for a second.
Right.
And then I would let people come through.
Sometimes
you know what I mean?
It's nice just to have a warm body in the room.
Yeah. Like, well, it's like if, I don't know, like I would always, because Frankie, the colorist that we work with, he was there too. And I would always go chill with Frankie. Or like Brian would come in or mm-hmm. Anna would come in and they would just hang out. Like literally, it wasn't even their project. They would just come hang out, work on their laptop while I was doing stuff. That's cool. I don't mind that. But if you're coming in and I'm like in the process of like just looking at everything for the first time and you start telling me things, I'm be like, yo, go away or consolidate right. your thoughts into a message and send me an email with bullet points. Right. You know what I mean?
I need time to digest all this shit.
Yeah. And I guess one thing that they were saying was this, like you said at the beginning, it was just a trust issue where this person was like, how do I make this cheaper? That's what it felt like. It was like, how to make this cheaper and faster. And it's like, this isn't even a creative issue. You know what I mean? We're all team producers. Stay out of the bay. Stay out of the fucking edit suite.
Yeah. I mean, and like there are instances where it's good to have a producer. And like I said, that Deezus and Mero panel, I'm super glad that Brian was there, but Brian also isn't taking the mouse away from me. He's just telling me like what he is looking for, you know. He's not micromanaging.
Well, Brian also, shout out to Brian, he's the one, he's come on soon, but he's the one who introduced me to that song, that cheesesteak song, that I want a cheesesteak, the one that
okay, I remember
this
now.
One right here. I want a cheesesteak from the city of brotherly love.
Oh, that was an awesome song.
Yeah, it's pretty brilliant. It's off Jingle Punk's music library.
Yeah, I think there was a Instagram story featuring me jamming out to it briefly.
It's one of our two Instagram stories we've ever done. Who wants to go next? Crashing the boards. Chris, Ian, one of you guys.
I'll go.
You'll go. Right.
This one's a lot less contentious, I'd say. But let's just imagine that the producer is in the edit suite.
Okay.
What would you want from a tailor-made editing / grading room? So this person is building a new facility and they're just, you know, kind of thinking about the best way to build out their edit suites in their new facility. Their premises, it's fully furnished. You have all the equipment that you would expect. The question is, what would be some must-have items and features that would sell the room to you? For now, let's just assume the budget is unlimited.
For me, the first thing that I think of is how people will be positioned in the room.
Yeah.
Like, the most important thing to me is eye lines. Like, if you can make eye contact and talk to the person really easily, that is the most important thing. I went to, Amy and I went to the garage. We had Evan on last time. He was talking about that guy, Steve, Steve Geralt, something like that. Mm-hmm. He, has this place called The Garage, and I went into their suite and, they had it set up in a way that was really, really fucking cool. But to me, it's not necessarily the most conducive for conversations and notes and stuff like that. They had it set up so when you walk in, you're on the left side of the room and you immediately, there's like a couch area with like, you know, places to put drinks and like a little table type thing. And there's a big gigantic screen up there. It's like the program monitor, like giant, and the room soundproofed, really, really nice. Then if you keep walking, you take like one or two little steps up, three steps up, and the edit suite is behind the couch, elevated. So it's higher up. Oh. So you're on the level of the, it's almost like a projectionist in like a theater, right? You're on the level of the screen there and the person who's watching is just like one little tiny level below you. And then, you know, it's like nicely, the table is like nicely enclosed and all that shit. And it's very, very beautiful setup. But I personally don't think that would be my ideal setup because I want the eye line. Because you imagine you're sitting and then the person is sitting in front of you trying to give you notes and you're like looking over the computer like, hey, wait, what do you mean about that? You know, I don't know. I just got to have the eye contact.
Right.
I don't know. For me, I guess it would be a setup where the client and I can just, like, I can look around the computer if I need to talk to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
For me, to be perfectly honest, I've never had an edit suite. I've always been in like a bullpen style setup. Like, so I don't even know what I would want. But one thing that I would want, which has almost nothing to do with editing, but it would just be vital for me if I'm going to be in this room all day.
Water tap.
Well, sure. I mean,
sorry, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Water tap. I mean,
come on, dude, let him answer.
I mean, I kind of like having an excuse to like walk, you know, down the hallway and like say, what's up? I'm getting some water. What's up, guys?
Wrong.
I'm wrong. I was wrong.
No, I would want something that probably most editors would not want. I want a window. Like, I want to have a window that has sunlight or something in it, because I don't want to be in the dungeon all day. Like, obviously we would need a blackout curtain or, you know, some nice solution, but I want a window because I look at a screen all day. Sometimes it's nice to look outside, and like the offices that we've had most recently have these big old windows. They're not distracting to me. They never, like, glare is never an issue. I like to know that it's daytime or nighttime. It just makes me feel like a human being.
You know what would be dope is to have it set up where the roof, like the ceiling, is all glass, like a big glass skylight.
Yes.
And there's a button you can press and it'll just like, and it'll close.
There you go.
She'll be litty.
Literally
it'll be lit.
Yeah.
By natural light.
What are some other things I would want? I feel like definitely a comfortable couch or like a breakout area. There needs to be something. Like, not just for the producer, but for me. Like, if I just want to, like, not be behind the screen for a second, just, like, sit down, fuck around on my phone, that's important. And then I would want a way, like you were saying with the eye lines, the sight lines, I don't even know how I would do this, but I would want a way where they're not necessarily, like, directly behind me over my shoulder the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't want to be turning around. I don't want them, like... everyone gets slower when they're being watched for some reason.
Totally.
I would need to come up with a creative solution where I can like turn the desk or like block something off I really need to. Yeah. Or just like some sort of like lazy Susan or something. I don't know.
What if it was like a, almost like a T-shaped desk. So like the L was in the middle, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then you were on one side and the other side was for the producer's like workstation if they wanted it.
Okay.
And you guys would both be facing the same way.
I'm okay
and
with that.
There is a big program monitor. And in their workstation, there could also be like a little couch area or something like that. I don't know. Just kind of spitballing.
When I worked in news, we had, it was like half of an octagon, basically. We called it the horseshoe, but basically it was set up so that there were two corners and each corner was kind of a diagonal that faces slightly away from each other. So you could easily like look at what the other editor was doing without much effort. Like, it was just a small turn of the chair and you're looking over their shoulder and then vice versa.
Yeah.
That was a decent solution.
Yeah. I like the way we have it set up here because, well, I guess we haven't really had a producer in that much with this new setup, but I actually kind of like how we have it set up here where it's like, it's almost like we have a shared suite in that corner where like I'm in one corner, he's in the other corner. And in between us, we have the TV that we can just run the HDMI to for a producer to.
It's just important that I have a monitor that, someone can't see so that they don't know that I'm fucking around on Reddit all day.
So you can be on Reddit. You can be listening to Dan Lebatard, all that.
Yep.
All right. So I said sight lines. You said light.
Yep.
Those are the big overarching things. What's important for you in a suite?
Well, you said the money is not an object in this, right?
Right.
Well, I'm going blank check, you know, slide into a pool.
Ooh.
And you like, want to be able to slide into a pool out of your suite?
Out of the window, you know, down like a story into a pool.
Down a whole story?
Yeah. Ever seen blank check? From his room into the pool outside.
No, I've never seen blank check. I thought you meant like you were going to like write a blank check.
Well, it was a Disney movie called Blank Check, where a kid finds a blank check and then just like.
I remember the one I remember that movie was Sinbad.
Sinbad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Hawaiian Punch in the water fountain kind of a thing.
I think the one you're thinking of is the first kid or something like that.
Sinbad takes a bullet. Oof, spoiler alert. Sorry. That's what happens.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had like my own edit suite. I've only been an assistant editor my whole career. So it's like I've always just been put somewhere and moved around willy-nilly. A room with a fucking door.
Okay.
Where people leave me alone for extended periods of time.
Okay, so that's a very humble request for someone who is coming from the blank check world.
Well, slide and to be left alone.
Yeah.
You want to
still
slide,
those things.
Slide,
but also,
slide on out the editor.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here, producer. I mean, there's nothing really. Nothing that comes to mind.
I mean, what you guys said was great. I mean, I'd happily work in either of your fantasy studios.
I mean, eventually, we'll get to a point where we can actually build out some of these fucking edit suites.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got
to
think.
We got to talk to Johnny upstairs.
Johnny.
See if we can put in a slide.
He can slide us some tile down that slide.
Oh, God.
Our upstairs neighbor is a tile salesman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, or something like that.
I don't know.
Salesman, found construction worker. I don't know what he does. But he was always rolling around in his chair all the time. We hear him.
Mm.
But, you know, this studio wasn't that much to build out. It's almost like this and just a few more things basically is the edit suite.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And like we built in windows in an indoor room.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you built these windows out?
Yeah. We built this whole room out.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see that.
There was something that.
This is great.
Yeah. It used to be much, much smaller where like maybe only this table could fit into it.
Okay.
And like turn 90 degrees. And then we decided to tear that down, put up a different room where we could have like this whole area. So. It worked out
somehow.
It really did work out.
You did it yourself. Like, you did all the walls.
No, we hired a contractor, and then okay. Will did all the painting and put up all the little soundproofing. But
nice job, Will.
It is weird because we really just like measured it real quick with the tape measure, and then we're like, build us a room like this.
That's
and then it happens.
Yeah, so honestly, everything fit in it almost perfectly. Like this is
we really should have done. Actual measuring, like it could have very well ended up in a situation where like things just barely didn't fit.
Oh, you would just
have
like eyeballed it.
Yeah. Oh, straight up, we just eyeballed it.
Yeah,
you did a great job.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
They
it's
most
comfy in
everyone
here.
Else did a great job. We just measured it. So all right.
I think we specifically didn't measure it.
That's a good point. All right, so we got the light, we got the eye lines, and we got a door and a slide. So that's the sizzle reel edit suite.
Yeah. A good chair is important, right?
No, standing only.
Standing desk. That's actually, one thing. We have standing desks that honestly, I only use them like twice a day for a few minutes. But that is, it really does a lot for my mind. Like it just puts me at ease knowing that I can stand up for a little bit and just, I don't know, it wakes you up.
Yeah.
Like really, going down a slide.
Yeah. People really, you know, swear by the standing desk. I've never worked at one. And I think I have a lot of back problems because of it.
We have, of the six desks in the office, four are standing desks.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them we got for free off the junk heap.
It is really funny to see people's setups in the offices that I've worked in. Like how much they need to just like have an 8-hour day editing. Standing desk, diffuser, you know, little crystals.
I think maybe we take it. I don't know. Well, I can't speak for you guys. I definitely take it for granted about like how much work editing really is. Because to me, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It's just a fucking thing. We're just putting shit together. But it's actually kind of difficult.
It's very difficult. I mean, like, it's obviously not physically difficult, but like, you're using your brain all day. It's exhausting. You know,
mentally taxing for sure. And like, so sometimes that's the biggest obstacle for me. Like starting an edit. Is I know that it's a lot of work. Like I know the first few steps they just suck. Like
first cut is the deepest, dude.
It's like you just have to like think and you have to focus and pay attention to like 8 hours of footage and like really figure out how it's all going to speak to each other at the end of this edit. And like, I don't like thinking. I'm lazy.
Right. And it's like, you are watching something, but it's like, it's not passive watching. You have to like engage and build out a structure in your head. It's very different from just like watching a movie or watching an interview.
But I think even when you're passively watching,
you can still
still end up building this building.
Sure.
Out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to use First Cut as the deepest in my next reel.
Do it.
Yeah. Like, it's either going to end with like that as an Easter egg scene where it's like me like getting like in slow motion, like hitting like Command K or something. The first cut in the timeline. But I don't know. All right, let's get to your pick here, Ian. What did you pull up here?
So this post says assistant editor ready to be an editor, which this is a question that I have and have thought about and have gotten mixed answers from people. It says, as the title states, I'm currently an avid assistant editor with 6 years of experience. In those 6 years, I have not only completed my duties as an assistant editor, but even helped cut scenes for whatever project I was working on, some of which went untouched into the final master. I'm getting burnt out being an AE. I want to be more involved cutting scenes and working with the story. My main question is this. Is it normal to apply or just ask around to editing jobs as an assistant editor? I'm willing to take a huge pay cut just to get an editing credit.
So this person's been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah. Damn. And so have I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself in like, are you actually in this situation right now?
This is
like,
my exact situation.
So what have you been doing?
I don't know. I've asked people like what the transition is from assistant editor to editor. Cause I've seen, you know, people can just become career assistant editors, like in your 40s, still assistant editing, never had an editing job, or maybe a few and far between.
Yeah.
And some people were like, yeah, it's kind of just circumstantial. You know, like some people have an assistant editing gig once, and then something crops up where an editor was needed and they were there. And now they're a full-time editor just from the get-go. And some people are an AE for 10 years. And have trouble like making the transition.
I think you got a network.
Yeah. I mean, which is like what I'm horrible at. I'm just like sort of comfortably numb.
Yeah. I feel that.
But yeah, I do feel a little bit burnt out being an AE, just cause I feel like I know I've been through the process so many times and I know how to do it. I know I'm good at it. And yeah, I've cut scenes, had to do just circumstantially. I've had to do animations for a project. So I have like a lot of skills. But yeah, I just have no idea where to go. Cause like even within my company, I feel like I would ask them and they'd be like, oh, but
we
you're
see
an AE.
You. We see
we
you
know,
assistant,
we know right? your history. We know who you are.
We talk about that a lot on this show. Actually
about
it comes
titles.
Up about titles and like falling into getting pigeonholed. And like when they see you as one thing, it's hard to become the other thing.
Right.
I have that with the, One specific client we have that where like I've offered to them multiple times, like, hey, you should let us produce a show. Hey, every time we come on to do post, they're like, you guys are too expensive. And then we're like, yeah, well, you're not even paying the full rate, but like we're giving you a deal and you still think we're too expensive. And then they give us the shit and we're like, dude, who shot this? Who produced this? Like, this is unorganized. We have so many suggestions on how to make it better.
We can save you money.
We'll save you a bunch of money. Like you're saying it's too expensive. We're going to save you money. And then like, we've obviously demonstrated that we know how to do this, but in their eyes, we're editors.
Right. So they've like, categorized you already.
Yeah. Like, unless we proved to them in the right way that we can produce stuff, we're not going to get a shot.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. I mean, the way I see it, I feel like you have so much, you know, leverage with just like a fog of mystery, you know, just going to someone you don't know, you've never worked for them. They don't know people that you've worked for and just being like, hey, I'm an editor. And they go, okay. I mean, you just sort of like hopefully make it through, you know?
Honestly, yeah. And not just for our industry, but I've always heard that advice parroted that the best way to get raises and to make more money in your career is to jump from job to job every 2 to 3 years, because you're more likely to get a 10% or a 15% increase in pay at a new company as opposed to like going to your boss and asking for, you know, an extra $10,000. They're like,
right.
No, I already know you. Like,
I've had that conversation.
Exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think also part of that, again, I mean, I sound like a broken record, but just going back to titles, like you'll get a new title when you jump to,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And so much of it is just saying, I am an editor, right? Like, what if you just on LinkedIn, you just change it to editor or right. something like that.
I mean, most, yeah, it's, I mean, I hate to say it. I feel like lying is like your best bet. Like,
but is it lying? I mean, you're the one who determines if you're like, an editor, right? Sure. Like you're the one who determines what you are.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
It's every title's fucking made up anyways.
I guess officially lying. I mean, obviously you need to have some chops. You know, you can't just walk into a place and say, you know, hey, I'm a neurosurgeon and then just like be like, oh,
well,
you know,
it's a little different, right? Neurosurgeons.
Sure. There's a higher stakes, but you know, you exaggerate to make a
if I
point.
Walked in somewhere and if they said like, can't like, hey, we're looking for, I don't know what the thing is. I am an editor, but like, if they were like, can you edit? And you're just like, yeah. Or like, you're like, I'm an editor. And then you went in there and did it. Like, if you're confident that you can do the job, then you can say you're that.
Fine.
You
right.
know, you can say you are that, you know, I'm not confident that I'm a neurosurgeon, so I'd be True. Fucked, but I am confident that I'm an editor. I know that.
Right. Well, that's what I mean is like, it's not really lying. It's officially lying. Cause you haven't had the title before,
yeah.
but you're not lying, you know, truthfully, you know,
right.
Like your soul isn't lying. It's not a, you know, a sin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not
because,
it's,
you know, you are an editor. You can do it.
Yeah. And I do think it, a lot of it is networking. I would say you could apply to answering that original question. You could apply cold to those jobs.
Sure.
What, you know, what do they know? Or even, you don't even have to lie and say that you're an editor. You can say that you're an assistant editor on those things, but
right.
As long as you, especially if you have like good references, like editors that you've worked with and, you know, they can, you can put that on the application and say, call this guy, he'll vouch for me. Mm-hmm. I can edit. You might get the job. And all of a sudden that one job, you're an editor now. But also I've never assistant edited. Like I never had that role. So I mm-hmm. got, I was lucky enough, you know, like you said, circumstantially, I just skipped that. Like I just went to editing.
Right. I mean, they're two totally different skill sets too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, neither one necessarily goes hand in hand with the other. Like I've worked with a lot of great editors who would be shit assistant editors who I'd be like, never sure. assist on anything I do ever because it'll just make it more work for me. And I've worked with great assistant editors who I'm like, who I don't know if they could like chop the thing right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they can organize the fuck out of it. It
yeah,
seems
it's
like
definitely left brain, right brain.
Yeah, it seems like
thing.
Everyone in this comment section is basically saying, let your goals be known to your network. You know,
mm-hmm.
like if you want to move up, the editors that you assist for are probably the first people you should talk to. Be like, hey, you know,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
looking for
well,
stuff.
I guess that's another like point. Like, I don't necessarily know if I want to be an editor.
Right.
Like I have so many other interests. Like I love doing like animation on my own and graphics and stuff, and I've taught myself just for my own little projects, and
yeah,
I would love to look into doing something like that. So I'm like kind of at a crossroads on how to, you know, level up here.
I feel like I would either just want to, I don't know, write or make podcasts. I feel like those are the two things I like to do the most.
You're making a podcast right now.
I know. We're doing them all for free. It's fucking wild. But I don't know. I mean, fuck, who knows? Like I'll keep editing, I guess. I don't like to do it that much, but I'll just jump in and knock it out.
What don't you like about editing?
It's boring. I'm just too good at it now.
Oh.
It is. I mean, like, it's just like, I feel like I've pretty much mastered what, like, we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to work on narrative shit or long form shit, stuff that I've never touched. Because it's like,
it's a new challenge.
Is yeah, I've been saying I want to work on narrative stuff or comedy stuff for the like last like 8 months now. It's like, I think that is really fun,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we haven't ever had that opportunity. It's like, mm-hmm. we just do the same corporate shit, which is fine. Like I like it because sure. it makes good money and I'm good at it and I can do it quickly,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to spend every single day doing it as a
yeah.
thing, you know? So I'm at a good balance right now where I can jump in like 1 day, 2 days a week.
I will say I like editing. It's good, yeah. but I can't see myself still doing exactly
this shit,
this kind of editing yeah. in 20 years. Like that,
fuck though.
There's got to be.
Could be doing VR.
Oh, that's no. I think. I mean, you need to feel growth in your career, right? And like, yeah. even if it's just going on to bigger projects or different kinds of projects or, you know, different styles of editing, like that goes a long way. Or moving up the ranks slightly to producer, or mm-hmm. moving, even if it's a lateral move, like from being an editor to being the motion graphics designer.
Right.
It's not, as long as you feel fulfilled and you're growing as a person.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
I mean, it's a, you know, it's a huge sign that, like, you know, if you feel burnt out in your position and you're like, you know, just like bored of it, or like it feels like a job. Because like, I remember when I started as an intern and was learning how to be an AE, it was super challenging to me because I didn't know any of this stuff. It was very new and I was like excited and happy to be on projects being an AE. And now it's at a point where I'm just like, oh, you know, I got to do this fucking thing again, you know?
It's also tough because you can't really segment the hours that much in a job like that, where specifically with being an AE, like you're kind of working long hours and it's pretty frequent. Like you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to AE for 2 days out of the week and I'm going to spend the rest of the rest of the week trying to like drum up new work. Like it just doesn't work that way.
No, once you're in, you're in.
Yeah. And it's really the same with editing too. I think, you know, we're lucky enough to work on shorter stuff, so we could potentially pull off like a 3 day work week if we want and like spend the other 2 days doing other shit. But I don't know. It's the key to everything is networking. You know, I used to hate it. Now I love it. I really
nepotism,
like it.
Nepotism, baby.
Yeah, it's important.
That's how I got my job.
I was going to say,
I knew a guy.
if you want to work in Premiere stuff, like we'll fucking bring you on to edit something.
Sure.
I mean, it's pretty, pretty chill, you know. We'll make you come sit in here and not in here, but in that room and edit right next to Chris.
Sure.
And you can ask him all the questions you want. And I'll be over there not talking to you.
Yep. Yep. And I'll be like, I don't know. Did you try YouTubing it?
Yeah. And I'll say, yeah.
All right. Well, we've had a pretty enlightening little conversation here. Let's bring it to the finish line. Ian.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug anything at all? I don't know. Like any stuff you've worked on? I know we talked about Nuclear Family a little bit. Anything else you want to plug? Plug your music. You can do whatever.
Yeah, you can check out my band.
Hell yeah.
My band Dead Wicks. We released an EP recently. It's up on Spotify. It's called The Sleepy. So it's SLE parenthesis EP end parenthesis.
What's your favorite song off the EP?
I think my favorite, I think my favorite is TV Wanted.
That's a great coincidence because TV Wanted is what's playing right now.
Lovely.
And it's going to play us out.
Check usually out the backing vocals.
Oh, yeah?
My good friend Kev did them, and they're beautiful and awesome.
Oh, hell yeah. Usually we play ourselves out with Sting, but today it's Dead Wicks.
Today it's Dead Wicks.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you Thanksgiving. Is that the next episode?
Oh, my God. Is it? Jesus.
I'm thankful for this podcast.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.